Okay, we'll start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So, what do you guys think of the retreat so far? Huh? Going good? I got some very, very good feedback since, like, quiet time, and a lot of people came and talked about how, yeah, you know, they sat, and they did what Abuna said, and they talked, and God is revealing all this stuff to them, and people are getting excited about it, and that's really cool. That makes me very, very happy to see. I've gotten two kinds of feedback so far, and I think everyone here falls in one of two general categories. The first one is, like I said, yeah, this prayer stuff is cool, and you know, the weather was nice, and we prayed, and we felt God, and this and that. And then the other category is like, all this stuff about prayer, like, where do I start? I must have came 5 minutes late, and I missed the boat on this one. Because it seems like everyone else is running over here, and I'm just standing at the port, just kind of watching where I'm supposed to go. So, I sense that there's two kinds of things going on. Either one, it's like, I don't know how to get started, or two, I felt it was great, I want to keep it going. Well, for both of yous, then tonight's talk is exactly what you need. Because as you see at the top of your handout there, tonight we're going to talk about the solution to your prayer problems. Yes, that's right, I said it. I, Abuna Anthony, am going to offer you the solution to all your prayer problems. And there's not one person who's got a prayer problem in here. Like I said, from those of you who are starting at, I don't know anything about prayer. I'm still in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'm trying to figure out how that ends. From those people who are starting there, okay, to those who are saying, this is the greatest, and I want to keep it, and I want a quiet time, and all this kind of stuff. From top to bottom, the solution to all your prayer problems, what we're going to talk about here tonight. Okay? But before we get to the solution, all right, let's agree on one thing. That prayer is the most important thing in the world. People who don't know nothing about religion know prayer, okay? People don't know anything. I can meet someone off the street. How's your spiritual life? Well, I pray and I love to talk to God. Prayer's like the basic thing that we know we should do. So this isn't anything new that you came to the retreat and you found out I should pray. If prayer is the most important and the most basic and the most essential thing, it's also going to be the thing that is also fought the hardest by devil, right? There's one thing the devil doesn't want you to do. It's the one thing he's going to try to get you not to do because it's the most beneficial thing. So, like I said, every single person in this room has different prayer struggles, and you could be at different places. Some people never prayed before in their life. Some people, you know, they want to maintain this, whatever it is, but everyone, the devil's always going to fight against your prayer. The question we want to get to tonight is, what should I do? I'm going to give you an analogy that I'm going to talk about for the whole night. So, Abuna Pshoy's talked a lot about, you know, losing weight and stuff like that. So let's say, here I am, Abuna Anthony, you know, and I'm weighing in about 180 these days. But let's say, you know, take a vacation in the summer or spring break or beach week. So I want to get in shape and look nice for when I go to the beach. So I want to work out. I want to lose some weight. I want to get in shape, even though, you know, I'm already not that bad. But let's say I want to get even better shape than I am right now. And let's say I never exercised before in my life. Never exercised a day in my life. I'm Egyptian, I'm fat, I'm just never exercised a day in my life, okay? But I have seen other people do it. It doesn't look that complicated. You lie down, you do like this, you get on a thing that moves, like, it doesn't look that complicated. Like, you've seen people do it. You've seen, like, the, you know, the Body by Jake guy, or you've seen the things on the TV, the infomercials. How hard could it be? So you've never really seen or done it yourself, but you've seen it done by others. So I say, you know what? I'm just going to go to the gym and just, there's a whole bunch of machines. I go to this huge Lifetime gym or whatever. There's a bunch of machines. If I feel that my legs are fat, I'm just going to go to this machine that, you know, moves your legs like this, and I'm just going to do that. Then I feel like, you know, I want to get my arms bigger, so this machine over here, it kind of uses your arms, so I'm just going to use that. And then this machine, I don't know what in the world this one does, but it looks like it's got to be good for something, so I'm just going to play around with that. Do this one 5 times, that one 10 times. Do that one, you know, like, anytime I want. Is that a good way to lose weight? Am I going to be successful? What's a better way to do it? How about, let's see, I get a personal trainer who knows what he's doing, and he says, Abuna Anthony, based on your body fat percentage, based on your build, you need to do 10 of these, you need to do 6 of those, you need to come and do this one every single day that you come for a half hour, they need to do that one just twice a week. Don't you think that would put me in a little bit better situation of success as opposed to then just kind of just try and see how it works? We all agree that would work if you're trying to work out and trying to lose weight. The point is that I need a strict discipline. I need someone to tell me exactly what to do as opposed to, I've seen people do this, so let me just try to copy them. Agree with me that that's not the most successful route. Well, you know what? Prayer is the same way. Too often, we don't know what we're doing in prayer. We have no idea what we're doing. But I've seen, this is the way Abuna prays. This is how Tosoni prays. My mom used to pray this way. I go on a retreat and people in the prayer vigil, they cry, okay, I should cry. Okay, they sing, oh, okay, I should sing. Okay, they say these words, I should say these words. And we just try to, you know, we don't know what we're doing, and we just try to copy, oh yeah, me too. And we just try to copy people and imitate these different things that we heard, and we don't really know what we're doing. And we're very undisciplined and unregimented, and the same way it's not going to have much success in your workout, and it ain't going to have much success in your prayer life either. If all you do is you heard phrases, that's why everyone prays, be with those who weren't here today and bring them next week. Be with those who weren't here today and bring them next week. That's the one I heard since I was a kid. That's the one I pray every single night. Bless me and help me and be all that kind of stuff. All right? The point is, if my entire prayer life is unregimented and undisciplined and it's just kind of helter-skelter, every man for himself, same way I didn't have any success working out, I can have any success in prayer. Imagine the type of person who only works out when they want to. Or the type of person who only does the exercises that they like. I don't like this machine, I like this machine. Or the person who only works out, but then once it starts to be uncomfortable, then I stop. You know, now it's heavy. Now the weights are heavier. Now I'm tired. I stop working out. That's the person who's not going to be very successful. Same thing spiritually. So therefore, the solution to all your prayer problems, write this down on your handout, is the Egbeya. Yes, Egbeya! Give me an Egbeya! Yes! The Egbeya is the solution. For those of you who don't know, that's A-G-P-E-Y-A. Egbeya. Alright? Now some of you are saying, Abuna Anthony's gone loony. Egbeya is the solution? Abuna Anthony, you're wrong. Egbeya is the problem. Okay? Egbeya is the problem with prayer, and the reason that people hate prayer is because of the Egbeya. And the reason that I can't pray is because people tell me I have to pray the Egbeya. And the reason that prayer is so boring is because of the Egbeya. And if you want, like, you know, sing and talk and this and that, fine. Egbeya, I'll be waiting outside in the hallway. I'll be waiting in my room over here sleeping until the Egbeya is over. Egbeya is the most boring thing in the world. And Egbeya is the worst thing for prayer. How can I be saying that it's the solution to all your problems? Well, that's what we're going to see today. And the analogy that I'm going to use from start to finish is the exercise example. So we're going to use that like 100 times today to see how Egbeya can solve your problems in prayer. Now, what's the common thing that people say about the... Of course, we all know the Egbeya is boring, okay? But you can't say that. I refuse to pray it because it's boring. So you have to try to sound biblical or spiritual. So what do we say about the Egbeya? I don't pray the Egbeya because why? I'm spiritual. Why don't I pray the Egbeya? Not my words. What are you going to say?
Because you're not supposed to just repeat things without thinking.
I don't do vain repetition. No. Pharisees, the people of low spirituality, vain repetition, they just kind of recite words? No. Me and God are close. I use my own words, okay? I don't want to just say empty things. You've heard these things. You've said these things. Maybe you're saying them right now in your head. God hates vain repetition. God hates Pharisees. We're not trying to be like the Pharisees. We're not trying to just recite things like that. God likes sincerity in his prayers. God likes emotion. And the Egbeya doesn't have that. Egbeya is just reciting empty words and vain repetition. Believe it or not, nothing could be further from the truth. All right? If you are saying that God doesn't like it because it's vain repetition, you are saying the exact opposite of what is really true. Look at that first quote on your hand out there by the late Bishop Yohannes of Gerbeya. He's a bishop who wrote the book, The Paradise of the Spirit, and he's since passed away, but he wrote something there. The value of prayer is not measured by the degree of comfort one receives from it, but by the amount of toil. Comfort and toil. He's saying good prayer is not by the amount of comfort, but by the amount of toil. Doesn't that sound like the exact opposite of what we think? I pray so I feel good. What he's saying is, good prayer doesn't make you feel good. Good prayer is a toil, is a labor, is a struggle, is difficult. We think the exact opposite. But again, it's back to the exercise example. If I prayed, if I exercised, and then as soon as it started to get difficult, I stopped. Would I benefit anything from that workout? No. The benefit is, once it's hard, I keep going. You don't, if those of you don't know anything about exercise, you don't lose weight the first, like say you run on a treadmill. The first 20 minutes you're on the treadmill, you don't lose weight. So if you think you're going to lose weight by running 15 minutes on the treadmill, you will not. Because the only time your body starts to burn the fat is when your heart rate's been going for 20 minutes, and then after that it starts to work. So you need to push yourself, is what that's saying. Same thing with lifting weights. If I come every day and just lift it once and say, now I'm done, now I'm tired, you're not going to get anywhere. But the body builds muscle when I push myself and I hurt and then I push it again. Same thing spiritually is what Bishop, and this is saying right here, is that when I toil, that's when I grow, that's when I have good prayer. Let's think about it this way. Let's assume that I only prayed when I wanted to pray. What would my prayer life look like if I only prayed when I wanted to pray? Let's go and just kind of do a little experiment here. The only time I prayed was when I was inspired to pray. And you know, these kind of prayers and on retreats and stuff like that. Or I only prayed the words that I wanted to pray. What would my prayer life look like? Well, let's get away from prayer. Let's look at like my grades. What would my grades look like if I only studied when I really felt motivated to study? Yeah. Yes, chemistry. Yes, biology. Yes. I really feel like the periodic table right now, and I feel like studying it. What would my grades look like? What would my car look like if I only obeyed the traffic signals when I felt like it? It'd look like Egypt, right? It'd look like you love Peugeots and stuff, right? What would my teeth look like if I only brushed when I wanted to brush? What would my hair look like if I only combed when I wanted to? All these things would be a disaster is the answer. These things would be destroyed. They would be ruined. They would be lost. And it's no different with prayer. If you only prayed when you wanted to pray, if you only prayed the word that you wanted to pray, your prayer life would be destroyed. It would be in ruins. Okay? Anything in life that you leave to whenever I want to do it, or whatever I want, or kind of kidda, okay, will get destroyed and will never ever be successful. Like I said, in every area of life. And that's what the church fathers teach us. You know the people who were the best at prayer, those who could spend the nights in prayer. You would think, okay, if you go read the writings of the fathers, you would think they would say prayer is the joy and prayer is this and prayer is my delight. You know what they say about prayer? Prayer is the hardest thing in the world. Prayer is never fun. Prayer is never easy. Prayer is a struggle. And the people who are successful prayers are the ones who realize that it's a struggle and do it despite the struggle. Okay? Our problem is we are so spoiled in life. Anytime something is difficult, we quit. I only pray when it's easy. You will never be successful at anything in life, like I said, with exercise, with your grades, with anything, if you only did it when it's easy. So that's why we need the prayer of the Egbeia. Okay? The Egbeia can solve my prayer problems. Alright? And there's three things specifically that the Egbeia can solve in my life. Write this down. Number one, it gives me the discipline that I need in my prayer life. Discipline. If I took a survey of college students today, and I said, what's the number one problem that you have? Begins with an L, and every single one of you would say it. Laziness. Or procrastination. It's the same thing. It's just tied in together. Or lack of discipline. Right? Laziness is our problem. Our problem is not ignorance. Our problem is not, I don't know if I should pray or not. Or I don't know if I should do this. My problem is, I know I should, but after the show. Or, you know, I'm tired. Or, my problem is laziness. Well, Egbeia solves it because Egbeia gives me discipline. Like I said, discipline is the key to success in anything. Who's the most successful lawyer? Who's the most successful doctor? Who's the most successful athlete? Is those who are the most disciplined. Okay? You go into let's talk about sports. You go in the NBA. Anyone playing in the NBA is the upper 0.00001% of talent. And if you think about it, the talent level amongst those who are great in the NBA is really not that different. Okay? They're all pretty much, they can jump 12 feet high. They all can do the same stuff. What makes certain people more successful is those who are disciplined to put in the hours and practice. Those who are disciplined to do what they should do even when they don't feel like doing it. Okay? That's what separates the men from the boys or the women from the lady or the girls. Okay? Is the discipline, is not the talent. I was gender equal there, okay? The Egbeia gives me discipline in two specific situations, when I don't feel motivated and when I don't know what to say. And if I asked you, what's the problem with your prayer life? 95% of the problems in your prayer life is either I'm not motivated or I don't know what to do. Okay? And the Agbeya solves both of those. So it can solve 95% of the problems. When you don't know what to say, and when you don't feel like doing anything. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. St. Paul says, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Circle, work out, or underline. Work out. Back to the exercise example. If you want to be in shape, work out. If you want to be in spiritual shape, work out as well. Put in the effort. Put in the discipline and the hours in the gym, but our gym is a different kind of gym, that it takes to keep in shape. This is why the Agbeya is so nice. Because the Agbeya allows you to pray. Okay, you were right now in the quiet time and the weather and this and that. What if it rained? Would you have been able to pray the same way? What if you're not on a retreat? What if you are, and it's cold and it's dark? Would you have been able to pray the same way? A lot of you would say, well, I wouldn't have had the same quiet time. Well, the Agbeya balances it out. Because the Agbeya is the same whether it's rainy or cold or sunny or hot or whatever. So the Agbeya allows you to pray when you're not motivated to pray. And gives you words to say when you don't know what in the world you should be saying. Okay? It keeps us kind of steady through the ups and downs, the retreats, and then the cold, and then the this and that. He who has the Agbeya knows how to stay steady. So that's the first thing. It gives me discipline. Second thing is, you're going to think I'm being funny when I say this. It provides me with the best words to use in prayer. Nah, that's it. Some of you are going to blow a flag here. No, Abuna Anthony, now you're getting into some funny business. The best words to pray? We're talking about the best words to pray. I'll pray whatever I want to pray. How are you going to judge my words in prayer? And as long as it comes to my heart, doesn't matter what I say. I disagree with you. I'll tell you why. Those of us, again, like I said, the number one objection towards God, or towards the Agbeya, is that God doesn't like it because it's insincere. But in fact, it's the exact opposite. That when we use the words of the Agbeya, it's never more respectful towards God than when we use the Agbeya. Okay? Remember how Abunam Shuri talked earlier about being in the presence of God, and we serve a mighty God, and a king, and the angels, the principalities, all that kind of stuff? Well, when we use the Agbeya, we are showing the most respect towards Him. Because we are coming to Him and saying, my words are good, okay? But you deserve the best, okay? You deserve the best. So I'm going to give you the best. And I'm going to give you the words. Who wrote the words of the Agbeya? The Agbeya is mainly the Psalms. Who wrote the Psalms? David, as inspired by the Holy Spirit. God Himself wrote them, okay? So God wrote down these words. This is how you should praise me. So sometimes when I come to Him and I say, God, these are how you say I should praise, but you know what? They're okay, they're not bad, I got better words. I say that's pretty rude. And I say that's very arrogant. And I say that is much, much worse of a sin than what we're talking about. So when I take the Agbeya, I say, God, these are the words that you said, praise me with these words. And I say, my words are not good enough for you. I want to give you the best. Okay? I'm not saying don't pray with your own personal words. But what I'm saying is, just like Abuna said, when you go into the presence of a king, you dress up. You look nice. Okay? You don't just kind of come in helter-skelter, kidda. Okay? So same thing in prayer. We don't just come to God with helter-skelter. We're going to come to God's presence. We come, give Him honor, give Him glory, give Him respect. And there's no better way to do that than the Agbeya. You see, even St. Paul. St. Paul was a good prayer guy. Nice words. Look what he said in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. St. Paul is saying the same thing that me and you are saying. I don't know what to pray for. And this is St. Paul. This is the guy who started churches. This is the guy who wrote epistles. He said, I don't know what to pray for. So I'm going to use the words that God Himself wrote down because I don't know what to pray for. The apostles themselves, look at Luke 11, chapter 1. They spent 24 hours a day with Christ for 3 years. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John also taught his disciples. See that? As John also taught his disciples, this is not a new thing, this teaching how to pray. John the Baptist, taught his disciples how to pray. His disciples became Christ's disciples. Okay, now we're your disciples. Teach us how to pray. And their disciples said, teach us how to pray. And everyone down the road said, teach us how to pray. Because praying in God's presence is not something that is kind of natural. Okay? It takes, like Abuna said, it's something we need to learn. Alright? What the Agbeya gives me is the form, is the words to say, the what to pray for. And if you've ever read the words of the Agbeya, okay, the words of the Psalms, the words even of just the prayers that are in them, you know they are 1,000 times deeper than what you say. Let's play a little game here, okay? We're going to play Guess Where This Prayer Came From. And the choices are the Egbeya or your personal prayers. Option number one. God, please help me and help my mom and my dad and my dog and my cat. Versus, this is not a hard one, okay? Versus, look at the next one on your handout right there. From where it says absolution of the first hour. Let the light of your face shine upon us and the light of your divine knowledge enlighten us. Let the light of your face shine upon us and the light of your divine knowledge enlighten us. All right, let's say you couldn't figure out that one. Let me give you another one. All right. Look at the next verse, right, or the next passage right there. Absolution, the ninth hour. Lord, abolish for us the power of the adversary and all his evil armies, as your only begotten Son trampled on them by the power of his life-giving cross. Accept us unto you, O our Lord Jesus Christ, as you have accepted the thief at your right while you were hung on the cross. Verses, please God, don't let me do bad stuff today, and I hope I'm good today. Which is better? I mean, I'm not judging anyone or anyone's prayers, but their prayers are better than your prayers. They're much better, okay? Don't help me to be better. Give me the power that you use to trample Satan under your foot on the cross. Give me the same power. Accept me as you accept for the right-hand thief. How many of us just go to God and say, God, please, forgive me and this and that. Accept me as you accept for the right-hand thief. The Bay is full of words like this. Enlighten me and give me these beautiful things. You don't come up with stuff like this. I don't come up with stuff like this. All right? Look at the next one right there. Okay, it's from the conclusion of every hour. It says, purify our souls, cleanse our bodies, straighten our thoughts, heal our sicknesses, forgive our sins, deliver us from every sadness and heartache. Who would think to pray for that? Okay, who would think to pray for every sadness and heartache? What I'm telling you is, these words are better than your words. When you learn how to pray the Egbeya with your heart, make it sincere, you are praying for like a gazillion times more than, oh God, please be with me today. Okay? You're praying for your soul, your body, your thoughts, your sicknesses, your sins, your sadness, and your heartache in like a half a second right there. So the Egbeya tells me what to pray for. It reminds me of things I'd never think of. It gives me beautiful words that I would never possibly imagine even coming up with. And the thing is like I said, who decided the Egbeya should be used in prayer was God. Where did the church come up with the idea of using the Psalms as prayer? Where did that come from? Was it around 100 years ago? Was it developed in the last 100 years? No. Was it around 1,000 years ago? It definitely was around 1,000 years ago. Was it around 2,000 years ago? Look at Acts chapter 3 verse 1. The early church. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. This isn't new. This is Old Testament. From the earliest days when God said, this is how you should worship me. He says, there are times of the day you should worship me. What did they use for their worship? They just made up stuff? No, they prayed the Psalms. Okay? In the Old Testament, they would go to the temple at certain hours and they would pray the Psalms. So this is not something we're inventing. It's not something Pope Shenouda just wanted us to do just to be a party pooper and make our life miserable. This is around from God ordained this himself from the longest time ago. Okay? The thing is, I said in the beginning, it provides me with the best words. Now some of you are still probably hesitant. What is the definition of best? What's your criteria of best? Fanciest, schmanciest? My criteria for best, you know what I mean by best? This is very important. Most likely to get answered. When I say it gives you the best words, you have the best chance of getting your prayers answered when you pray these words. How's that possible? Is this a hocus pocus magic thing? No, absolutely not. Christianity is never magic, okay? Like Abuna was saying with the whole putting the paper in the thing, it doesn't work like that. Like if you say, you know, certain words, some people have that, you know, I say these words and I should find my lost keys or whatever. It doesn't work like that, alright? But what I'm saying is when you pray these words, you have a greater likelihood of getting it answered. Why? Let's look at it this way. When I pray the words of the Bible, it gives me more, like, what's the right word? It gives me like a better position with God. Alright? It gives me the ability to influence God more. Let's say I want to talk to a judge. Alright? Let's say I want to plead my case. Let's say I got a ticket. Okay? Or I got, a fine or whatever with the judge. What's the best way to convince that judge that I should go free? To say, oh, please, 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 please let me go free? Or, if I go inside the law, and I go inside the books of the law, and the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights, all that kind of stuff, and say, in Section 4, Chapter 3, it says that one should be allowed one, I'm just going to invent something, one free pass on speeding on the Beltway. Let's say it actually said that. Or if I said that, you know, a minor under age 18 shouldn't be tried like this, or if I use the words of the law, doesn't that give me a little bit more credibility with a judge as opposed to, oh, please, please, please? Doesn't it? Well, it's the same thing with God. When we go to God and you want credibility with God and you want boldness before God and you want to go right to the front of God's line, you bring God's words. Hey, God, look here. This is what you wrote. I'm calling you out on this. All right? Look at the next verse right there, or the next passage. The conclusion of every hour. It says, O Christ our good Lord. Look what it says there. It says, O Christ our good Lord, who is long-suffering, plenteous in mercy, and most compassionate, who loves the righteous and has mercy on sinners, of whom I am the first, who does not wish the death of a sinner, but rather to return and live. What is the summary of this? What is he asking for? Forgiveness. Forgive me for my sins. Every single word in this passage is biblical. Everything here is coming from the Bible. God wrote it. So what he's saying here is, not please God, please forgive me, please, 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 please. He's saying, God, in your Bible, you wrote you are long-suffering. Micah chapter 6. And then you said you are plenteous in mercy. You said that all over the Bible. And then you said that you are righteous, you love the righteous and have mercy on sinners, of whom I am the first. Everything, this is what you said. God, I'm coming to you with your document. This is your handwriting. You wrote this, give this to me. God has no choice but to say, okay, I wrote it. You know? If you come to me and say, Abuna Anthony, you wrote this, 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 and that. You told me do this, this, and that. Okay. If I wrote it, you bring my own handwriting, and you quote me. Okay. You got it. Done. Yours. Well, that's what the Egbeia gives us. The Egbeia takes the words of the Bible, and the Bible is full of them, of promises that God makes. I am patient, I am long-suffering, I am merciful, I am forgiving, I love the righteous, I have mercy on the sinners. And the Egbeia makes it real. The Egbeia takes these promises and makes it real for me and you in our lives. Alright? The reason why, I'm sorry to say this, the reason why many of us never get our prayers answered is because we don't know the promises of the Bible. Because we only go to God with please, 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 please. We don't know what's in the Bible. If you don't know what's in the Bible, you can't pray. Because the Bible is the words of prayer. Okay? So the reason that a lot of our lives of prayer are weak, so we don't know what the Bible says. We don't know what the promises are, and we're not praying those promises. But if we learn how to pray the promises of God, and like I said, the Egbeia is full of them, you will find that you will find much more success in your prayer. I'm earthly. I'm human. I'm bad. I'm evil. And even me, if I promise something and you hold me account, I'll do it. Just because I don't want to break my promise. Okay? And that's me. How much more so God? How much more so if we hold God and say, God, you promised this. You promised blessing. You promised joy. You promised peace. You promised it. If I go to God and I ask for those things, of course he's going to stick to his promise. Okay? So, the Egbeia gives me discipline that I need. It provides me with the best words. And then number three, it moves my focus from myself onto my God. Moves my focus from myself onto my God. Remember how Abuna was saying that in the beginning we need to get in the presence of God? This is not an easy thing, okay? And I'll be the first one to admit, alright? I go through my day, a million things, the phone, the email, the car, the this, the problem, that, and the that. Now it's time for prayer. Where's my mind? On a gazillion different things. Okay? And I don't know how to get rid of them. Like, I'm not disciplined enough. I'm not disciplined enough to put those things out and get myself into God's presence. But the Egbeia does it. The Egbeia doesn't talk about my emails. Egbeia doesn't talk about my problems. Egbeia doesn't talk about my grades. Egbeia talks about God. And if I really read the words of the Egbeia, I will focus on him. I will put myself in his presence. Because it's all about him. It's not about me. Alright? The Egbeia is the only way to get myself, like I said, focused on there. If I rush into prayer without the Egbeia, and my mind is focused on a million different things, what's my prayer going to be like? It's going to be extremely selfish, isn't it? oh God, please just let, you know, this traffic go away and let this issue get solved. And please solve this grade and my mom and my dad and court and this and that. That's all my prayer. It's going to be selfish. All right? But when I use the Egbeya, the Egbeya reminds me to pray for things bigger than my problems. Okay? There's two kinds of prayer. Okay? I believe there's two kinds of prayer. Prayer is communion with God. Me and God uniting. There's two ways. God's up there and I'm down here. So prayer means either I go up there or he comes down here. And the majority of us spend our prayer life bringing God down here. God, I got this mess. Help this. God, I got this problem. Fix this. That's not bad. But that's not the best way to pray. A better way to pray is leave this stuff, take the elevator upstairs, and you go join God in heaven. And that's what the Egbeya does. The Egbeya starts to talk about, oh God, you are righteous, and oh God, you're worthy to be praised. And the Psalms talk about, you know, the heavens declare your majesty, and the earth declares your praise, and from the rising of the sun to its setting, and the whole earth praises you, and all this kind of stuff. This is leaving this trash of the world and going up and spending a few minutes with God in heaven. I told you to have your Egbeyas with you. All right? We're going to read a few, just look at a few passages. Go to the first hour of the Egbeya and go to Psalm 12, verse 16, or page 16, I'm sorry. Go to Psalm 12. See, the beautiful thing about the Egbeya, all right, is it reminds me, like I said, life is more than problems. Look how this psalm starts. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? What are you getting from this psalm so far? A lot of this stuff and my problems, my this and my that. But look how every single psalm ends. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. You see how the psalms take the trash of the earth and they bring you up a little bit. So you leave this and go up there. That's the way every psalm is. Go back to Psalm 3 on page 11. Every psalm is like this. Look how it starts off. Oh Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Skip to the last verse. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. The next one, Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. My problems are hard. Be merciful to me, etc., etc. Look how it ends. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The Psalms take the earth trash and lift it up to heaven. And say problems and mishekel and araf and this. But God, you are great. Your salvation, I will sing to you and I'll praise. Your personal prayers don't do that. Your personal prayers leaves you down here and God, this is bad. And we finish our prayer saying, please God, fix. And we get stuck down here. What I'm saying is let's go up there and let's let God transform us. The other thing that Egbeya does, is just like those psalms right there, it reminds me of something very important. That God is still listening even when the answer is no to my prayer. King David had lots of mess in his life. Alright? King David ran from people and people were trying to take off his head. And he had to act like a crazy person. And you think you got problems? You think you got problems with your family and stuff like that? David's father-in-law went after him. Alright? Tried to kill him. You don't got problems. Alright? David had problems. But what it shows me is David was always God's servant and God never left him. And he writes about that and says, I got lots of problems, but God, I know you're still with me. So here I am down on earth and I'm praying for a million different things and I'm getting no answer. God, where are you? And if I never had the Egbeya, never had the Psalms, I'd be tempted to say, well, God's left me. I don't got no God. God didn't listen to me. God listens to other people. He didn't listen to me. I mean, if he did, I'd have this problem solved. But King David says, uh-uh. There's lots of times you won't have problems solved. It doesn't mean God isn't there. Okay? So it moves the focus from myself onto my God. Remember how I said earlier that we have to pray the words of the Bible in order to get our prayers answered? If you study biblical prayers, okay, and if you've been following along with Nehemiah, we just talked about this recently in the study on Nehemiah, but it's all over with Abraham's prayers, with Moses' prayers, St. Paul's prayers. Anyone who gets their prayers answered, there's always one common denominator. Who remembers what I said from that Nehemiah Bible study? What did they do when they pray? They give God something. Huh? No. They give him a reason to answer their prayers. Okay? People who want their prayers answered tell God, just like I said, God, I'm praying this, and this is why I'm praying it. They give God a reason why. The words of the Egbeya say, God, are the best reason that you could give God to answer your prayers is because of his characteristics. God said, I'm faithful. Okay, if you're faithful, then you should answer this because you wrote down you're faithful. God says, I'm loving. Bible says cover to cover. God says, I'm loving. Egbeah says, okay, God, you say you're loving? Hold yourself accountable to that. Okay? So what the Egbeah does here in this situation is gets my focus from myself onto my God. It gives me the right perspective. Your problems in life are big. Your sins in life are big. Your addictions, your bad habits, your mess is big. But God is bigger. What Egbeah does is says God is this big. Okay, no matter how big your mess is, God is always bigger. And if I don't have the Egbeah, I won't remember that. Because what you see is what you end up thinking about. So if all my life is I'm surrounded by these problems and I'm going just like the blind maze, I'm in the maze, and I'm walking around the maze and all the maze, all I'm thinking is now ropes and maze and every time I touch a rope, where do I go and stuff like that. All you do is you live in your problems, it's all that's going to be on your mind. What Egbeah does, what the Psalms do, is say, look at the big picture. God is loving, God is faithful, God is merciful, God is kind, God is righteous, God is just, God is all these beautiful things. And there's no way that you can leave that, a sincere, heartfelt reading of those words, and be depressed. Can't. Okay? You can't be. Okay? When you realize the bigness of God, the littleness of the bigness of the problems doesn't seem so big anymore. Okay? So, that's why the Egbeah, like I said, discipline. Best words, move focus from self onto my God. The other thing about the Egbeah, just kind of like to kind of talk about what Abuna talked. Remember how Abuna was saying about how when we pray, my will and God's will kind of meshes? Okay, remember how he was saying like, you know, I get changed in prayer and I become like God and God changes what I want, stuff like that. If we look at prayer as the meshing of my will with God's will, okay? That I went into prayer wanting this and God wanted this. I leave prayer, we both of us want the same thing. If we take that as kind of our definition, then there's nothing better to pray than the Psalms, okay? Look what Acts chapter 13 verse 22 says. I have found David, this is God speaking, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. God said a beautiful compliment about King David. He said, he's got a heart like mine. His will is like mine. So when, if God says that King David's will and my will are the same, well then wouldn't it be smart if I do the stuff that King David did so that my heart can be like God's as well? If I really want to have a heart like God's and a will like God's, why don't I pray the same stuff that he prayed? Because his will was obviously joined with God's and his heart was joined. So let me take his words, learn from his example. Okay? And that's why the church gives us the Egbeah. Now here's the thing about the Egbeah. The Egbeah is a gun. A loaded gun. And it's very, very powerful. But like a loaded gun, it can be used the wrong way. So we have to understand, not just, I don't want to just give you this powerful weapon and just say, go out there. You have to be trained in how to use this thing, okay, in the proper way so that you don't hurt yourself or hurt someone else in the meantime. The important thing to understand about the Egbeah is it is not an end in and of itself, okay? Anyone who says that is wrong. Anyone who says that the end goal in life is to pray the Egbeah 24/7, that is incorrect, okay? The Egbeah is a means to an end, but the end is always the relationship with God. But what I'm saying, I'm not saying the Egbeah is the only thing in the world that's of any value, but what I'm saying is if you want to get close to God, this is your best weapon, this is your best tool that you can use, alright? But it's not the end in and of itself. The reason I'm saying that is, don't go around, you know, doing crazy things, living a crazy life, and then say, well, I pray the Egbeah, so I should be fine. It doesn't work that way, okay? Egbeah is a means, not an end in and of itself. And the important thing when it comes to how I should pray the Egbeah is I must remember to balance two things. Every act of worship or prayer has two things that must be balanced. Form and spirit. Okay? Form and spirit must be balanced. What's form and spirit? Form is the ritualistic aspect of things. The reciting words. Okay? Our Father who art in heaven. You know, doing matanyas, sign of the cross, okay? The form, the what should I do, okay? The form is the what. The spirit is the how. as to how I should do it. So what I'm saying is, you need both. I'm not just telling you, say this, this is not, you're okay. I'm saying, say this, but do it in this way. Okay? Have these words in your mouth, have this spirit in your heart. Alright? We have to balance the two. If I have a really, really good heart, okay, that really loves God and really wants this and that, but I don't have the right form, I'm always going to be lacking, okay? Because again, it's back to the exercise example. I really, really want to lose weight. I really want to, and I love to be skinny, but I'm not doing the right things. I'm not exercising. I don't know what I'm doing. It's not going to be successful. So just having the right intentions, it doesn't cut it. Okay? So don't let anyone tell you that, you know, just whatever. If you look in the Bible, and you talk about, especially in the Old Testament, when God talked about how you should worship me, was he very generic? Worship me however you want, whatever you like. God was very specific. And God was very picky, and said, on this day of the week you offer this much, and a third of a this, and a half of a that, and he was very boom, 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 boom. God didn't change. God didn't, you know, lighten up over the past 1,000 or 2,000 years. God is the same. Alright? So if God wanted it a certain way then, he wants it a certain way now. So, heart without form, spirit without form, is useless. What about form without spirit? That's deadly. Okay? That's Pharisee. Alright? And that's the worst thing that you can become. So we have to learn how to balance the two of them. Alright? So in order to understand that balance, there's kind of 1, 2, 3 points there that is the how, because the beginning was the what. This is the how. The first one there, A. I don't think you have the letters on there, but it should be A. I should pray with a spirit of fear and humility. Fear and humility. And Abu Nishoy said it so nice when he was talking about how in the beginning of our prayer, we don't just rush into prayer. We take a minute of silence. Okay? Put myself in God's presence. He's running the show here. I'm not coming in, you know, helter-skelter like this. I'm relaxed. Coming in with a fear and humility. You're the boss. I'm the little soldier guy. You tell me what to do. You're commander-in-chief. I'm just the little peon guy. You tell me what to do. So that's why. Even when you pray the Igbeya, you should not rush in. You should start off with a time of silence. Some people like to meditate. If you have a beautiful picture like this of Christ, just take a second just to meditate on it. Abu Nishoy Campbell talked about how every time you pray, you should meditate on the cross. Just stare at a cross. Just for like 2 seconds, 2 minutes, do whatever. Some of you like to sing a song. Some of you like to just, you know, maybe read a passage. That's fine. But relax. Come in with a spirit of fear and humility. We must stop the rush, busy thing. Coming into God's presence is not like flipping channels on a remote. Okay, now I'm email, now I'm computer, now I'm TV, now I'm pray, now I'm eat, now I'm this. It doesn't work like that. Relax, okay? Take some time out, get yourself kind of calm, put yourself into God's presence, and then go in. This is a great thing which has a lot of sweetness. You will not taste it if you rush it. You will not taste it if you just say, my goal is to read all 12 Psalms in like 4 minutes flat. Ready, go! It doesn't work like that. You will not taste anything from it. You will only taste it when you focus on quality, not quantity. That's why even when I say you need to have the proper form. What's the proper form, Boone Anthony? How many Psalms? How many hours? I ain't going to tell you. Because it's not about the quantity. It's about the quality. So let me tell you something. You should pray the Igbeya. But even the Father's right. I'm in the middle of a psalm, and all of a sudden, I feel like really touched by the psalm. Repeat it. Repeat just that verse over and over. Sorry, Phoebe, I'm going to call you out here. Psalm 12, the one I just read to you. I love on the Trinity CD when they took that and they put it to a song. I don't read this psalm. I sing that one because I love it so much, and I have it memorized because I love it. And that really goes. So this is the form, but make sure you got the spirit. No rush. Relax. You get touched by something, read it over and over. Alright? The point is that I come in with a spirit of fear and humility. Second thing I do is I should pray the Igbeya even when I am tired. Even when, and you guys are like, oh no. Actually change that. Especially when I am tired. Get rid of even. Especially when I am tired. Remember what we said in the beginning. If you want to be in shape, you must push yourself even when it hurts. And that's the only way to lose weight, that's the only way to be good at anything, to push yourself when it hurts. Someone comes and tells me, Abuna Anthony, I want to pray the Igbeya, but I'm tired. Good. Pray. That's the best time to pray. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be like martyrs and persecuted. Where's this persecution? I am being persecuted for my faith. How am I supposed to die to myself and crucify myself? Well, it's simple as this. Every day, my body wants to sleep, my body wants to eat, my body wants to rest, and I say, God, I am dead to this world. I am alive to you and you only. So, my body wants to sleep, I'm going to get up and pray. My body wants to eat, I'm going to get up and pray. My body wants to doze off, I'm going to get up and pray. My body wants to just kind of lay here and just pray in bed, I'm going to stand up and pray. That's the best time to stand up and pray. When you've already gotten into bed, and then you remember that you haven't prayed, get up and pray right there. That's where the blessing is of prayer. Okay? Now again, I'm not saying, because remember, Buddha Shri said, don't pray before bed. What I'm saying is, when you've gotten into bed, and you remember that I haven't prayed, I'm too tired today, I was busy, get up and pray. That's where that extra blessing is. Okay? Remember that the Lord sees every single little tiny itsy bitsy thing that you do. And how can you imagine that God would see me lying in bed and I say, you know what, God, I am tired. I really want to sleep. But you know what? Because I love you, I'm going to get up out of bed, I'm going to stand up and pray. You think God's just going to let that go unrewarded? You think God's just going to say, okay, you know, you're stupid, you shouldn't have done that? No. God sees the struggle, and I promise you, He will reward. All right? So pray it even when you're tired. The other thing, C, I should use all my senses in my prayer. Use all my senses. My worship of God, that's what the Orthodox Church teaches us, should be an entire body experience. Okay? I should use all my senses, because the Lord told me to worship Him with not just my mind, but with my soul, with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. Heart, soul, mind, strength. That's everything. My heart, my soul, my mind, my hands, my strength, my feet, my nose. Use all your senses in worship. And the church teaches us this every time we enter the church. But let's leave aside that for now. How can I use my eyes in worship when I pray the Igbeya? How can I use my eyes? Looking at a picture of Christ. Very good. How else? Reading. Huh? Reading. Reading. Very good. Who else? Looking up. Okay. How about closing them? Okay. Closing them is a good way. Closing them makes me not look at the people walking outside my house. Makes me not look at, you know, posters or crazy things that you have in your room or whatever. Close my eyes makes me concentrate. I can't do this and be daydreaming. Yes, I'm just daydreaming. Yes. You can't. Okay? If you're doing this, you're focused on whatever it is you're doing. Okay? So use your eyes to worship. What's another sense? My ears. How can I use my ears to worship? Ears kind of connects with mouth. Listen to a hymn. Okay? Pray out loud. Who said that? Okay, pray out loud is great. Pray out loud. Do you know the fathers of our church teach us that when we pray, we should pray out loud. Pray out loud. And Judas, I'm not... Hasten, O God, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May those who seek my life... Do that. Why not? Let yourself hear it. Let your ears be involved in the worship. Your ears should worship God, and they should be hearing this. And then if you could do, like I said, sing, that's even better. If you know, maybe you'd like to sing it in a tune. I know people who don't know anything about tune. Girls don't know anything about the church. They just sing whatever they want. They just make up tunes as they go along. Hey, it sounds nice to them. All right? Sing anything. Let your ear, let your mouth be part of the worship. Okay? How about, this is more tricky, my touch. How can I touch? Huh? Matanyas. Okay, very good. Matanyas and cross. Those are the two. Sign of the cross is very important. Sign of the cross is very, like, let your body be involved in the worship, as well as matanyas. What are matanyas? Matanyas are when we bow down to the ground. And matanyas are the best because they involve your whole body in the worship. Remember, this body of mine, your body has two components, spirit and flesh. Spirit wants to pray. Flesh does not want to pray. So I must force it to pray. So matanyas are very good. When should I do matanyas? You should do matanyas. Okay, now again, I'm not telling you that you have to do it this way or else, but I'm telling you when you should do them. You should do them at the beginning of your prayer, when you first start, get in the presence of God. You should do matanyas at the very end of your prayer, conclude your prayer. I got some funny phrases. You guys all know what a matanya is? Yeah. Everyone stand up. We're going to stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Except pregnant people. Pregnant people stay down. Okay? Everyone else stand up. Pregnant people stay down. Everyone else stand up. Up you do. Up. We're going to worship God right now together. Okay? Very good. Up, 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 up. Okay? If you don't have enough space, get to the aisles. All right? We're going to do this thing the right way. A matanya is done as such. Follow me? Follow me, okay? First thing... No, no, not like that. Follow me, okay? Matanya is done as such, okay? First thing you do is you put your hands in a fist with your thumbs up, okay? Then you put your thumbs like this, all right? When you go down, you're going to put your fist down on the ground. You are punching Satan down. Not open fist, you're not high-fiving the devil, you're punching the devil, okay? You're going to do like me. You're going to go knees down. Knees down. Okay? Fist down. Forehead down. Back up. Head up. Back up like that. Okay? Very good. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. That's right. We're doing the workout. I'm high energy. I'm high energy up here. Right? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to explain it. Yeah. Okay? Matanyas are so important because, again, I cannot be thinking about crazy things while I'm doing that. My body is involved in the matanyas. So I should do them at the beginning, I should do them at the end. If you want to really, really go further, you know what I tell you to do? Anytime you read and it says, like Psalm 5 says, before the angels I sing your praise, I bow down towards your holy temple. When you read that, bow down. Don't, because we're not just talking empty words. We're not doing vain repetition. You don't do vain repetition. When you say, I bow, bow. When you say, worship, I worship, get down on the ground. When you say, glory to the Father, get on your hands and knees and prove that you're giving glory to the Father. If you really want to go further in your matanyas, after every psalm, the Father say, they pray the psalm, they get down and do matanya. Especially during Lent, like during the Kiri Lesons, we get down and we do matanyas. Okay? The more and more you can do them, the more and more you're getting your body. You can't fall asleep while doing matanyas, alright? It is impossible. Unless you're doing one of those extended matanyas down, and you just kind of stay down. Get up, is what I'm saying. Alright? So, Vishoy asked a question, which is what? The fists? Okay. The reason that you do the fists, okay, I mean, again, we're not Pharisees and hypocrites, so we say if you did it like this, it didn't work or anything like that. But the reason we do this, number one, it's kind of like a cross, and we're smashing Satan down, okay? Because the matanya is the sign of humility, all right? It's bowing before. If I come and bow my head represents my human pride, my ego, my brains. This is all of my glory is up here. Well, I'm taking this and I'm putting it on the lowest spot at your feet, Lord. So I'm trash. I'm nothing. I'm humble myself before you. And humility is the one thing that you want to protect against the devil. Devil can't touch you when you got humility. Okay? It's the one thing that smashes him down. So my humility smashes him down. I worship God, I smash him down below me. Okay? So that was very good. You guys are very good matanya peoples. Alright? Yes. Okay? Well, again, I'm not going to tell you how many you should do, but the more you do, the more your body is worshiping, the better. Okay? So, I would say, I'll give you a general, but it's not everyone. So I'd say at the beginning and at the end. I'd say after the gospel, when we say to an Oshimok, we worship you, O Christ. You say it, do it, prove it. Alright? During the Kiri Leisons also, like for every three, Kiri Leison, Kiri Leison, Kiri Leison, boom. Okay? 1, 2, 3, boom. 1, 2, 3, boom. Cool? Yes, Marie? What's the point of the Kiri Leisons? The point of the Kiri Leisons, every hour we do 41 Kiri Leisons to represent the... What? The whippings of Christ, okay? So we remember that Christ was whipped how many times? 39, 40 is? Spear. 41 is the crown. 40, 41, doesn't matter which one, okay? So basically remembering the wounds of Christ and we're asking for mercy because it's my sins that caused that, okay? Yeah. Yeah, but you don't have to kiss the floor. Yeah, I mean, that's the important thing is the humility part of it. Then the kissing the floor is like a sign of veneration or respect, especially when we do the altar, but not necessary. You could find beautiful meditations for anything, so that's fine. Yeah, the more... That's fine. Yes, Pat.
Why is it 44 with the nails?
Why isn't it 44?
Same 41 because
of it's the. Oh, how come we're not counting the nails? You have to go back and ask the fathers who wrote it. I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, add 3. There you go. Add your 3. Now you have to do 44. Any other questions about the Matanyas? Yes, for sure.
Can you do it all like this?
That's what I heard.
Yeah. That I don't know. Can you explain? I never heard that. Can you explain that one to me? The thing is realize there's always, like, things that we do, you can find beautiful meditations on them. Okay? So some of the fathers would write, so I personally don't know that one. So if you could...
There's a tradition that they say that when Satan fell from heaven, he fell flat down. That's why we don't do
the Okay. And Muslims do it this way, apparently. Which is the best reason not to do it. Okay. No more questions? Any more questions? Anyone else? Yes.
That's bad. You know how we're supposed to go, I guess, we go back into our personal prayers.
Yes.
We should do that.
Yes. Okay, which is what I was going to get to, so you're taking me to the right next point. Which is the Egbeya. As I said, all these things, like I said in the beginning, are a means, not an end. The end is to communicate with God, to be one with God. Okay? It's all about a relationship between a father and his child. Right? Not a slave and his master. Between father and child. So these things are to get me to worship God, and I hope that my Egbeya prayer springs forth into personal prayer and springs forth in all these things, because these things are important and we want to pray personal, but all I'm saying is don't do one without the other. Don't say it's either this or that. This should lead to that. Okay? Last thing it says there on your handout. Remember this always, that the Egbeya is a tool and not a cage. Sometimes we think of the Egbeya as a cage. I must pray this at this hour and in this way and face this direction and do this thing and I'm stuck in this cage. By no means. The Egbeya, like I was saying, be spirit-led. Be free. Let God lead you. You feel like doing 600 matanyas? Do 600 matanyas. You feel like, you know, reading all the Psalms? Read all the Psalms. If you feel God is leading you, go with it. Don't look at it as like this. The Egbeya, what it is, it's a beautiful tool set. It's a hammer, a wrench, a screwdriver, and all this stuff. Your point is to knock down that wall. Use whatever tool you want. Okay? Just get the wall down. Just get communion with God. Use any of these tools. If you like the third hour, you like the sixth hour, you like the ninth hour, whatever hour you like, get any one of them and just get communion with God and become one with Him. That's all it is. I promise you, the Egbeya will increase your spiritual life in ways that you can't see. It's just like exercising. You're on that treadmill, you don't see the pounds flopping off you. Alright, but it pays off in the long run. Alright, you don't just see them dropping off you. I know some of you wish, you know, you did. See that funny commercial with the guy, the big fat guy, who takes one lap around the gym and goes away himself? Not like that, okay? The bottom line is, you may not see it, okay? You may not see the improvement, but I promise you it's there. And this part that I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you from experience, alright? I'm going to turn these things off here. All right, what I'm telling you right now... Pause. Okay, very good. Good. Very good. The reason I paused it is because I want to tell you something I wasn't sure if I was going to share, but I just wanted to share it, but I don't want it to be shared on there, just between me and you. Is that I'm... for me personally, my own personal life, all right? When I was asked by the powers that be to give the talk about the Egbeya, I was really hesitant. Just because I haven't been that strong in the Egbeya. Okay? The thing is that everything, I was in college when I really started to get close to God and really take my spiritual life seriously. And the Egbeya was it for me. It was mine. It was my treasure. It was my everything. I used to pray, just between me and you, okay? I'm not saying use me as an example or anything like that. I used to pray every hour of the Egbeya. Okay? I used to get up, it was my senior year, I didn't do nothing for class, I had 12 credits, I mean, I had my job, I didn't do nothing. Those of you who knew me, I was back every single, I did nothing, okay? I used to pray every hour of the Egbeya, on the hour. I get up at 6, Pray the first hour, go back to sleep, get up at 9 for the next one, go to class for a few hours, come back, pray the 6th and 9th maybe together, then pray the 11th, then pray the 12th. I thought it was standard, okay? I thought everyone did that. So I just kind of went with the flow. Someone said, pray the Igbaya. I picked it up, and I'm the kind of guy who reads books cover to cover, so I read the instructions. 6 a.m. do this, 9 a.m. do this, so I just kind of did it, okay? And I used to pray it all the time. And believe it or not, there was even a time in my life where I used to wake up and do the midnight hour like Abuna was talking about. That was the golden time of my life. And I can honestly say that in the past year-ish, I've really gotten away from the Igbaya and lots of my personal prayers. And I know that it's been, like, I feel the effects of it. And that's why when I was preparing this, I really felt God was using this as a wake-up call to me, not to you guys. Okay? And ever since I was told to give this talk, I've really taken the Igbaya in a new way, and I felt the effects even in a very, very short time. Believe me, but God is my witness. The only reason I know how to pray today is because I prayed the Igbaya. The only reason that I have anything in my spiritual life is because of the Igbaya. I started the Igbaya. The Igbaya is not for experienced prayers. The Igbaya is for those who want to learn how to pray. The Igbaya is for those who say, I want to get close to God. And this, I can honestly say, because I got close to God when I was living 2 hours away. I didn't have the church, and I wasn't close to it all the time. I would just come back on weekends. The Igbaya is what got me close to God. No doubt. It's taught me how to pray. It's taught me how to love God. It's taught me everything I know about God today is because of this little black book. Okay? So, the Igbaya is my strength. The Igbaya is my glory. The Igbaya is my pride. And the Igbaya is what took me from down there and helped me to climb that mountain. That's what prayer is. It's a mountain. And this is what got me up there. And I'm so thankful about this retreat, which spoke to me first and foremost, to get me back on that track. Okay? To get me back on that Igbaya track. So I'm urging you, if you've never tried it, try it. If you have tried it and gotten away from it, get back to it. If you're doing it now, do it with the right spirit, and I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, because I've seen both sides of it, okay? I promise you, it will not be ineffective in your life. Ineffective in your life, okay? Anyone have any final questions? Okay. With that said, let's kind of dim the lights there, Marianne, and let's stand up for a time of prayer. Open your Igbaya to Psalm 12, page 16. Take a minute of silence just to kind of think about what we heard and try to put before God whatever kind of action steps and items we want to take from this time, any kind of resolutions you want to make, any kind of disciplines we want to set for ourselves.
Lord, truly you are our God and our Savior, and truly you are faithful and you are good. And truly all of heaven and earth and all creation sings praise to you and gives you glory and honor, with the exception of one creation, which is us, dear Lord. Everything around us praises you. Nature glorifies you. But it's us, dear Lord, that gets so caught up in the trash of this earth that we often forget to praise you, and we're often distracted, and we're often unmotivated, and we're often so just tied up with the mess of this world. But we want to go back, dear Lord. Go back to our roots, back to where we came from. We came from you. We came in your image and likeness. And we're eternal beings. We're heavenly beings, not earthly things. We want to get back to that kind of heavenly status. And we know, dear Lord, that you sent us the Egbeia. It's your gift to us. And it's your kind of thing that you sent us to get us there. So we really want to take it and make it something real for us and make it something personal. Not just use it as vain repetition, not just use it as boring and as obligation, and not just kind of blow off what we heard tonight. But we really want to get into the Egbeia and get stuff out of it, dear Lord, so that we can worship you the way you want to be worshipped. Who are we to come and tell you how you should be worshipped? Who are we to come and tell you how you should be praised? We're sorry for our arrogance and for our kind of ego and thinking that we know what's best. We humble ourselves before you. And we kind of submit our will and our prayer life to you, and we commit ourselves to obey whatever it is that you tell us to do. Give us a special help to pray the Egbeia and to make it real, to make it personal. Dear Lord, all my brothers and sisters who are gathered here, me first and foremost, is telling you that we want to pray. We want to know you. We want to love you. We see people who love you, dear Lord, and we want to love you just like they do. We want to get to know you. So please come and help us. Don't leave us here. Don't leave us struggling. Don't leave us unmotivated. Don't leave us in a lack of discipline. But please come and touch us, and please come and take us up to heaven. Bless the rest of our night, our discussion time, our prayer meeting especially, and help us to really feel your presence and really communicate with you and really have fellowship with you during that time. Special blessing to our gathering here, to all those who ask us to remember them in our prayers, through our Lord, God, and Savior Jesus Christ, through the intercessions of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, through the prayers of St. Mark and all your saints. Hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.